Well, good morning and welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It is your friend, James Shaw, and I'm so glad you're here. And it's the Friday before advance. There's 400 of you that are going to get here. Gosh darn it. I mean, let's stop freaking out over stuff we can't control. They're going to cancel 4% of the flights today and maybe 6 or 7% of the flights tomorrow. She doesn't like that. Anyway, so they're going to, it's fine. You'll get here. You'll get here. You'll figure it out. They got other airplanes. It's all good. We're looking forward to advance. Who's coming? Put it in the chat. We got about 400 of you that are going to be here for our first or our biggest event we've ever done. First one we've done in Tampa. Normally we do it at the Safety Harbor Resort and Spa, but that place holds maybe 200 if we're lucky and we squeeze in. So we can't put 400 of you in. Fire Marshal Bill won't allow it. So we had to move it to Tampa. It's going to be great because John Acuff is coming. Now here's John Acuff's All It Takes Is a Goal. Great book. He's going to teach all this goal stuff, and then I'm going to go and weave in a little book right here called The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, and it'll be a different perspective, one you have not had before, that will help you kind of envision what 2026 should look like. So if you're coming, I'll see you there. Put it in the chat. If you aren't coming but want to get in, I don't know the current ticket situation. It's been sold out for months, but we have people, you know, plans change and things happen. So I don't know what the ticket situation is, but if you want to try to get in last minute, email Nadine at jamesdshaw.com. She loves it when I give her email address out to all the people. So if you'll email Nadine at jamesdshaw.com, she'll let you know as to whether or not we can get you in. Monday all day, it's John and me. Tuesday, it's a half day. You got Profit First workshop in the morning and a nonverbal communication workshop. Also that day. It's going to be great. Hope to see you there. Going to be fun. Some people are driving from Maine. I saw it posted last night. They said, never mind Southwest. We're going to drive from Maine. So maybe they're on the road now. How long does it take to get to Tampa from Maine? I'm just curious. A long time. A long time. Okay. Yeah.
21 hours.
21 hours, Teresa. Now, did you already drive down here?
Yeah, well, we're in Virginia right now. We're
you're
in Virginia.
Okay. Oh, it's your Bon Jovi moment. Oh, you're halfway there. You should be playing Living on a Prayer right now, Teresa. Where are you in Virginia?
Oh, gosh.
Manassas.
You're in Manassas. Okay, so D.C. area. While you're there, why don't you stop by the Capitol and say, fix this?
We did.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
We gave a big thumbs up on the way by.
Well, so tell me about this, because you were like, never mind, I'm not waiting on the airlines, and you just jumped in the car?
Yep. Teresa's flight got canceled, and then mine was still on, but I couldn't let Teresa go by herself. So I canceled mine, took the credit, and here we are.
Listen to you. That is great. What time did you leave yesterday?
10 o'clock.
10 p.m. And have you driven straight through?
We did. We took shifts.
Oh, my gosh. Are you going to stop and rest, or are you going to be in Florida today?
I think we're going to be in Florida today. We're pretty committed, so.
I'm so proud of you. This reminds me of when Nicole Moore drove down the one year. And then be careful. You'll go home with a surfboard or something. So be careful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
I want to get a picture with you, James. I'm going to put it on
it's
the
guaranteed.
Christmas card.
Guaranteed. I'm charging $10 a photo because Naomi has extra dance this year. But for you two, it's free.
Awesome.
Okay, it's a paddleboard, not a surfboard. But you can go home with whatever you want. Drive safe, ladies. We'll see you later today.
Bye.
I'll even give you a hug, complimentary.
Love it.
Complimentary hug. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. All right, let's get after it this morning because we play America's favorite game show every Friday. It's America's new favorite game show that you aren't quite sure if you like yet, but it's called Next Objection. Now, here's how it works. Next Objection. I say Next Objection. You raise your hand, your digital hand, and you ask, you give us an objection that you've heard recently. Now, not one about price, and I don't want to get goofy and cutesy-wootsy, like legitimate objections that you're hearing out there about price, or I want to wait till after the holidays, or whatever. And then we'll take three objection handlers off of the board. This is a great chance for you to practice without being wrong. Everybody is right. If you raise your hand, you're a winner. Jenny Lynch, like spinach. Next objection.
Gizbo. I can wait 2 or 3 months to sell it. And if I list, I'm going to list with my friend because he's done it before and we've done business before.
All right. So if I list, let's go with if I list, I'm going to do it with my friend because we've worked together before, but we're a FSBO right now. Who wants to help Jenny Lynch? We're going to do three people role plays. Hands are going up. Look at the hands just flying up, Jenny Lynch, for all the people who are ready to put themselves out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm not listing with an agent. And if I do, I've got a friend who is, we've done it before, and I'm just going to use him.
John?
Okay. So, Jenny, you say you want to list, you're going to list yourself, and then you're going to go with your friend who's an agent if you list. Is that correct?
Yes.
So if you sell it yourself and you give it to your friend who's an agent, what do you think they will do differently than what you are doing?
Well, they'll put it in MLS, which will get it some more.
Great. So
eyeballs.
You think that putting it in the MLS is a bullet. Why don't you do something about that today?
Well, because I've got time and I can still drop the price before I have to worry about bothering him and paying him.
And I realize that, but are you aware of what the days on market will do to the status of your house in terms of what how the market perceives it?
Somewhat.
Well, would you be open-minded? Strategy that moves that sells your house rather than lists your house more quickly.
Well, I do have a strategy. I can drop the price and beat any of what you're offering me and not have to pay anybody.
Well, that's true. You can drop the price, but if you're open-minded to dropping the price, why don't you try and price the home correctly from the beginning, and perhaps you and I could sit down and talk about my strategy for selling the house, which has shown to be produce better results than other realtors.
Say okay.
I was going to say, Joe, want me to just say okay?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you have to. John, you did a great job asking questions. I think that's and then using her, you know, the things she was telling you back. You've definitely put some practice in on this, John.
Working on it, listening every day to everybody here.
I'm proud of you. Karina, you want to give it a shot? You got to come off mute, my friend.
Sorry about that.
You're good. Go ahead.
Okay. I totally understand saving money is high on your priority list. But let me ask you, when was the last time you personally sold a home?
I sold the unit right next door to this one. It closed 2 weeks ago.
It closed 2 weeks ago. Okay, so you were able to negotiate with an agent, or did you negotiate directly with the buyer?
It was directly with the buyer, and they offered full price. I felt kind of bad for them. They didn't ask for anything.
Okay, I gotcha. So let me ask you, do you think if you had an agent, they would have marketed your property a little bit differently to get additional buyers in and maybe drive the price up?
Well, we did have seven or eight buyers. We did have seven or eight people look at it.
Okay. And from that, you only received one offer?
Yeah, we took the first one because it was what we asked for and it was what we needed.
I gotcha. What if I could show you how I could market your property, pull in multiple offers and net you more money?
I don't see how you can do that
Okay. I don't see why you would leave more money on the table like you did this last transaction.
How do you know I left more money on the table?
Well, because you won't let me show you, lady. That's what I would say at this point.
He was rough.
He was rough.
He did agree.
That's what you say. Then you need to sit down and talk to
him. Let me show you
this. I was in front of him.
Oh, good. Well, there you go. It's all good. Jenny, it may be just a follow-up one. We're going to take one more handler on this one. John Tramble.
Come on, John Tramble.
Hey, I totally get that you want to just try to sell it yourself for a little bit and then maybe sell it with your friend. I'm curious, why are you waiting to sell with your friend when you can put it on the market now?
Because like I said, I just sold the one next door. We have interest in this one, and there's no point in bothering him if I'm going to do it myself like I have in the past.
Okay. I totally get that. You don't want to be bothered. One more question about that is, since you're going to wait a couple of months, am I hearing correctly that you're not in a rush to get this property sold?
That's correct.
Okay. So in the perfect world, if I gave you a magic wand, when would you like to have this home sold?
Oh, well, sooner rather than later, for sure. That's
sooner rather than later. So what is sooner to you?
Well, I figure I've got 3 months. And if, you know, I can drop the price between now and then. And if it doesn't sell, then I'll give it to my friend.
Okay. So 3 months. Well, if I can show you how my team and I get home sold quickly for the most amount of money, is that something you'd be interested in?
I don't see how you can do that, but sure.
All right. So I will see you today at 4 o'clock.
Thank you.
You know, I don't answer the objections, but when I do, I call on Anna Kruger.
Thanks, James. There's actually multiple objections wrapped up in this one.
There thing, are a bunch.
Three or four. So I want to go for the one about making more money on your own. So let's jump in there. So if I could show you a way to make more money with me versus selling on your own, would you be open to hearing about that?
Of course.
Okay. So let's say, Jenny, tomorrow is Saturday. You and I decide we're going to hang out and go to an auction. And on this one street, there's two auctions that have identical items. There's two auctions across the street. They're exactly identical. And one auction has 300 people and one auction has two people. Which one's going to make more money?
Probably the one with more people.
Okay. And what made you say that, Jenny?
Well, because there's more competition.
Okay. And why would more competition make that one make more money?
Because more people are bidding on it, the chances are it will go higher.
Exactly. So in the same way, by listing with me, I'm able to put your house in front of more people. And I also call around looking for buyers for your home. So simply by putting it in front of more people, I will be able to help you most likely make more money. Isn't that worth at least a conversation?
Well, that's why we're face-to-face talking.
Okay. Oh, I thought we were on the phone.
No, I was, okay, I got the appointment. I was there.
Okay. So that analogy often works well. And when they're a true FSBO and we're not role-playing, they're usually very suspicious. Like how, I don't think you could make me more money. And that's where that auction analogy works well. And the thing is, we're asking them, why would the auction with 300 make more? Because it then requires them to say it. So and it's funny when you're talking to them, because I've had them multiple times, they'll go, the one with more people, oh, yeah, one with more people makes more money. And then that's where you can say, well, wouldn't it make at least some sense to talk about this? And because it's a casual, wouldn't it at least make sense to talk about it? They're often more open. And there's so much more that could be said, and I don't want to take all the time. But that auction analogy, back in the day, it would set one appointment out of three people. It works. That is the analogy to go to.
Thank you.
Anna Kruger, thank you. Jenny Lenich, thank you for asking the question. Follow up with this guy. Is he an investor?
Yeah, he has several.
Yeah, so this could be someone great. Build relationship with over time, make his life easier, be there to help him when he wants the help, and let him do his thing when he doesn't. But I'm proud of you for asking the objection. All right, here we go. Next objection. Carolyn, good morning.
Good morning. So this is for a listing that I have taken. So all these things that you're making me do, painting and replacing the carpet and the light fixtures and the bathroom vanities, it's going to cost me about $15,000. I want to add more to the list price so that I can net. What can I say to him that doesn't sound snarky like, well, the buyer doesn't care what you paid for it?
We want to be snarky and not snarky. That's what we want to do. And Terry is going to role play be the first role play with you. Terry, go.
Okay. So, so I totally understand what you're saying. But you know what? You actually are raising the price because your price would be much lower for what people would actually purchase your home. If you didn't do all those things, it's going to pay off. Does that make sense?
It does.
That's really smart. By doing the work, you're actually already raising the price. That's genius. Y'all, is that genius? That thought never crossed my mind. And some of you are probably like, I say that every time. Brilliant. Brilliant. Who else got one? I feel like that answered it, Carolyn. I really do.
It did
How do you
too.
feel about that answer?
No, I think it's great.
Really good. Really, really good.
Thank
Terry,
you.
Well done. You get the gold star today. Not worth anything. Next objection. Who's got one? Dean Moss.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. You know, I know I'm offering $25,000 more than the asking price of the house, but I'm damned, sorry about that, if I'm going to sign a racial gap rider. If it happens, it happens. If not, the seller will lower the price.
Dean, I'm sorry. I misunderheard you. Can you say it again?
All right. Do you know what an appraisal gap rider is? Do you know anything about that? Or should I further explain?
Well, I would explain it like the seller needs to understand what it is.
I get you. So you're offering more money than what we're asking for the house, right? We did multiple offers. We had 7 offers on the house, okay? And you're offering more in hopes of getting the house. So my question for you is, would you consider signing a rider that says if the property appraises between the asking price and your higher offering price, you'd cover that gap? Okay, you have to cover it in cash. Would you consider doing that?
All right, who's got an objection handler for Dean?
I use this rider a lot with buyers, but I don't understand what Dean's question is.
So in other words, the buyer will not sign an appraisal gap rider obligating them to pay the difference if the property appraises between what
sure.
they're asking, what they're offering, which is
okay.
high. But they still want to take a chance that they'll get the house. I guess what they're thinking is if it appraises in that gap between the asking price and the offering price, the seller will just lower the price to comply with the appraiser.
I mean, why would we have a buyer sign that anyway is my question.
So, Dean.
Go ahead, Lisa.
So, Dean, what I'm understanding you saying is that your buyer really truly wants this house and he's willing to pay more than the appraisal. So the conversation, Dean, is, you know, I understand you want this house. You do, don't you?
I do.
Okay. So the what you're playing is you're offering more, and if the house doesn't appraise for what you're offering, you're going to have to come to the table with the cash. Are you willing to do that?
No, I'm not.
Well, then we can't play this game. What are you willing to offer for this house to win the house?
Oh, I could probably go up $5,000.
So then let's go ahead and write that into your offer and write that appraisal gap there. How does that sound to you?
Brilliant. Thank you.
Then let's do that.
Brilliant.
Oh, that was good. I was so confused, Dean, by your question. I think a lot of people are. I'm glad Lisa got it because now it makes a
Thank
ton
you.
Of sense. But it's fun stuff. Listen, folks, here's what we got to do for next week. We have no calls Monday or Tuesday. That means you have extra time to sit and think about the objections that are stumping you so that we can practice them, because you're hearing objections. And for whatever reason, you don't want to bring them up in here. But when you do, you get better. Like Dean just had an aha. Carolyn had a huge aha. Like, we're all having them, and it's up to your... Jenny Linich is going to be able to move forward with this guy. Just move the ball down the field a little bit. And it's all about you being willing to share. And that's why we're going to do it. And we're going to keep doing it. And it's going to keep being awkward. And it's going to keep having times that nobody's talking until it's not that way. Until you're more comfortable sharing your objections and more comfortable doing objection handlers. I'm proud of you. Good morning, everybody. What's going on? It is your friend, James Shaw. It is 7:58 Eastern. Good to see you. We're back and better than ever in Safety Harbor. And I'm happy to be home. I made it out before the cancellation started last night from Minneapolis. It was so great to see all the wonderful leaders and agents in Minneapolis over the last couple of days at the ALC clinic. Good time had by all. And now we're back home and we're getting ready for Advance. So Advance is our annual business planning event. It's in Tampa this year. About 400 of you are making your way down to Tampa Bay. You're battling confusing flight situations, but it'll work out. And then we're going to have near record cold weather while you're here on Monday night into Tuesday. It's going to feel like Minnesota. So it'll be great. I'm glad you're coming. We're going to have a great couple of days. A great couple of days strategizing about the new year, talking about goals, getting kind of clarity about what it is that's important to us. And I'm really excited about this event. And I'm thankful to those of you that are coming. If you're not coming and want to try to get in, there might be a couple of seats that open in the next day or two. You can email Nadine at jamesdshaw.com. Nadine at jamesdshaw.com, and she'll let you know if there's a seat. All right, we're going to do some something goods. And I just got so excited today when I saw that Ro Coleman was on the call. I saw her name pop up. Ro, you were on my mind yesterday. I was thinking about you. And here she is today with her hands up. So, Ro, you go first. Good morning.
I honestly just wanted to hear you say my name. But no, I am grateful for this community, although, you know, I'm not on camera that much and I'm usually lurking in the background. Y'all really have been like joy for me in a time of sorrow. And so I just, although you may not see me, I am behind the scenes looking when at all those moments when I need encouragement. I love everything that I see Julia making James do. It makes me laugh. And just seeing all y'all and your different personalities and your different things. So I just wanted to say how grateful I am. I know that when I first got introduced to this community, I was like, dude, I am not coming on an 8 o'clock call. Dude, I'm not doing it. And that 8 o'clock turned into 7:30, that turned into 6:30 with early birds. So I just wanted to love y'all much. That's it.
We love you too, Ro. Glad you're here. Good to see you. All right, Jessica, you get the last one. Jessica Ebanks, good morning.
Good morning. So my something good is I decided to do blessing baskets this year for the first time. And I did a video to kind of announce it on Halloween. And my kids decided to help, which was not a ton of, it didn't seem like it was going to be much help at the time. But I got 500 views in the first 2 days, which was huge for me. I mean, when I did like my baby announcements, I got 60 views. So this was like awesome. And people are just jumping in like left and right, my church, all kinds of different people. My goal was 10 baskets. And I think it's going to be way more than that. So I am just so thrilled at how the Lord is using this. And I'm so grateful to all of you and to Ellie McIntyre and to you, James, for just letting me run my business in a way that is exciting to me and in a way that I enjoy.
So happy for you on that. Congratulations. Got to feel real good. And whether it's 10 baskets or 100 baskets or whatever, you're impacting your community, which is the point of that. And you're right. Thanks to Ellie McIntyre for teaching it to us. I'm putting the link in the chat for anybody who's would like to run that play, the blessing baskets. And it's built around the idea that it happens around Thanksgiving and it can be done any time of the year. So if you'd like to pull it off too, it's blessingbaskets.jamesdshaw.com. blessingbaskets.jamesdshaw.com. All right, so we have spent the whole week talking about getting back to the basics because, I don't know, it was last week I posted that you know, the reason why we get behind or don't hit the goal or things don't work out the way we want is really because we have an unwillingness to follow and master the basics. And so then Ashley Bearden said, well, James, instead of dropping one-liners, why don't you tell us what the basics are, you loser? And so I said, all right, I'll come up with five basics. Now, they're not probably the five basics that you're used to, but these are the ones that when I thought about it, I said, I think these are the five basics. On Monday, we covered create a goal that has purpose and meaning. On Tuesday, we did build a process to reach that goal. On Wednesday, we talked about building and communicating with your database. On Thursday, we said you got to track your numbers. And today, it's about adding value in every single transaction. Now, if you missed any of them this week, you can go back and listen. Everything is in the podcast. You can go to Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, wherever you go for your podcast, and search Pivot Shift Ahead, and you'll be able to find the recordings of all four. And then you're on this one, so you can hear this one. It's about adding value in every transaction. Now, if you listen to the MREA podcast that I did, I don't know, a month or so ago, maybe, and I was talking with Jason Abrams about this, and I said, you know, if we want to get our business to you know, reach its maximum opportunity and hit our potential, we got to go all in on database, and we have to communicate with it consistently, and we have to be valuable in the way we communicate with it. In other words, the communication that we do can't just be throwaway stuff. There's got to be purpose behind it. There's got to be value. I said, when we're consistent and not valuable, we're annoying. Consistency without value is annoying. And that is the, I don't know, hi, this is Sally, and I help people from NAR who need health insurance. Like, they're very consistent in that, but it's pretty annoying. In fact, if anyone from NAR is listening to the podcast, will you please make it stop? But anyway, the point was is that if we can be consistent, but low value means it's just annoying and they unsubscribe, block, don't want to talk to you, not interested, whatever. I don't think most of you have that problem. I do think you have touches that are low value, but you're not so overly top consistent with it that it's probably not having much of an impact at all. I think where most of you fall is the other side of that. Value without consistency is anonymous. You might do a handful of touches throughout the year that are pretty high value. You give them an equity analysis once a year, you send them the baseball schedule magnet, you send them the football schedule magnet, and you invite them to your Pi Day. Like, that's great. Those are all valuable things. But that's only four things over 52 weeks. It's just not enough touches. Maybe you skip the phone call, don't send the text, don't do the handwritten note, you know, don't do those other pieces. And so because it's not consistent, while the value is really high, the consistency is low, and so they can't remember who you are. And I think about this with my mom the other day. She said, James, are you in town? Oh my gosh, that triggers. When I get a text that says, James, are you in town? Jim Barber, it triggers me because I'm like, I gotta go fix her remote. She needs me to come over to her house and fix her remote. And so sometimes I just say, no, I'm not in town, even if I'm in town. And it's okay. My mom doesn't listen to the podcast, so it's okay. No, it's not true. If I'm in town, I tell her. If I'm not in town, I don't. But my mom was like, I need an electrician. Do you have an electrician? And I said, I do have an electrician. Well, who is it? I said, I have no idea, and I can't tell you because I'm out of town. But his card, I taped it to the electrical panel so that if I need him, all I have to do is go to the garage, look at the panel, and I can call. And I love this electrician. This dude is awesome. But I haven't heard from him since the day I paid him to do the work that he did at the house. I just enjoyed working with him so much. I'm like, I cannot forget who this guy is. So I taped his number to the thing, but I had to go find it. I couldn't tell my mom who it was. I don't want that to be you. And I think it probably is. I think there's plenty of times that someone's like, hey, do you have an agent? You're like, yeah. Oh my gosh, that person we use. And they always send me the football schedule. But they don't remember. See, it's not about who follows up the most, and it's not about who provides the most value. It's about both. The person who follows up the most and provides the most value is the one who gets the opportunity. So think about, are your touches valuable? Just listed, just sold, low value. Stop sending them. Your database doesn't care. They want to be educated. I think your database wants to be educated versus sold. So when you educate, you win. People want to feel helped, not hunted. So that way they can remember you when it's time for them to sell. Each touch you give should make things easier or better, or you know, they raise their knowledge, they make things a little bit more clear. We have to think about what value is. Market updates that interpret what's going on in the market is value, but just splashing some numbers is not. Advice that reduces anxiety and simplifies decisions, that's value. Personal touches that show that you care about them as a person and that they're more than just a transaction, that's value. And that's why we've been doing the database challenge, database gratitude challenge this month. For that reason, purposely, that you can show that you see them as a person and someone you care about and not just a transaction. I think was yesterday handwritten note day, and I think today is drop a little gift off with a vendor partner day. So stand out and serve. There was a question that came up yesterday inside of Pivot that says, how do I share with people that if they give me a referral, I'll give them a gift without it feeling like a bribe? And I'm like, you can't. You can't. It is a bribe, and it might not even be legal depending on where you are. So, but what you can do is give people a gift because you want to. Because randomly you thought of somebody. But we have to remember this, that the value game is a long game. It's something that's going to take time to pay off because it takes time to build relationships. You build equity in that relationship through adding value. And you won't see the return immediately, which is when you'll start to question, well, is this working? Are my notes working? Are my events working? Are the equity analysis working? Are these things working? Because it doesn't work immediately, it compounds. But I'll tell you what, if you become an agent that starts to play the long game instead of playing for the short wins, I think you'll come out ahead. Let's talk about adding value. And Janine, we haven't heard from you this week, so we're gonna start with you first on this one. Janine Garcia, good morning. You're great at this.
Good morning. So, adding value, and leveraging it. So what we did was we created a report for the client on Monday after the house hit the market, and which, you know, we did not have more than one showing at the open house. One party came in, the next day one party came in. And what we did it was we looked at all the views that we had online. We did the Zillow, the Redfin, the realtor.com, the ratio of how many emails that we blasted out were opened. So we did an entire report to the client and said, look, this is what, not necessarily because people are not showing up, they're not talking. What they're saying is that, you know, they don't want to come because they don't see the value of the property. So after all those reports that we did for both listings that hit the market this past week, we received an offer on last night, after we changed all the flights. You know, we're like, okay, whatever. It's quite slow. We're leaving tomorrow. Well, guess what? We received an offer. We negotiated. And then the client goes, but you said that the property stays on the market for at least 30 days, these properties. And I said, you know what? If you looked at your report, people are talking. People are saying, I'm not going to see your house because I don't find the value. So this one, it would only take one to go under contract. So we better accept this one. And we did. And it was because we provided the value of what the market was saying online. That's it.
Great job. Thank you. Lee Corey, you're next. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm in your beautiful city here, downtown Tampa. Yes. Ellie and I did the river walk this morning. And I didn't recognize where we were because it was light out. It was so cool. Anywho, you know, we do touch our, no, we don't touch them. We keep in touch with our people regularly. And one of the things that we did this year that was different is we do a quarterly event where it's seasonal, where we give something away. Like in the spring, we gave a spring cleaning. In the summer, we gave, I don't know what we gave. In the winter, in the fall, we gave a fire pit. In the fall, in the winter, we're giving a $250 gift card. So we give this to everybody that's in our world, in our command. But not only that, the other thing, which you, when you mentioned the electrician and the card, we now started Coffee and Connection. And we are inviting vendors in our world to meet with us on a quarterly basis. And we're helping them learn how to keep in touch with their clients and build their business, which I think these tradespeople just don't know how to do it.
Yep.
You know, they don't. So we're giving to them to build their business in hopes that they're going to remember us when they hear about people in their worlds that are looking to buy or sell.
The five basics that we've covered this week would work for anybody. This is not real estate specifically, and you can go and add that value to them. Man, they grow their business. You get the credit for that. That's great value. And now you have referral partner. It's really smart. Lee, welcome to Tampa Bay. Glad you're here. Stephanie Edison, you're next. Just trying to get people in we haven't heard from this week, and then I'll circle back. Go ahead, Steph.
Hi, guys. Good morning from West Palm Beach. So community has been the number one thing that's built my business. And James, I'll have to find it later, but I think maybe 5 years ago, I sent you an email and asked something along the lines of, if I loved on my people in this particular way, I think maybe it was like a 96 touch or something, how many people would I have to love on to meet my goals? And I know you said it would be this many people and it would take this many years. And I may have even included in the email that it's not going to include making phone calls because I don't make phone calls. But I started out networking about 5 to 6 years ago. And in that time, it has blossomed into me running my own networking group called Hustle and Heart. And I host masterminds for female entrepreneurs that are very beneficial for them once a month. And we actually had a member who 5 years ago she joined, and she was making homemade stuffed cookies. And she just wanted to get her cookie into a Whole Foods. And she was like, I don't even know how to get my foot in the door. You know, I go there, I can't get in front of anybody. And 5 years later, her cookies are now in every single Whole Foods in Florida. So it has just been amazing to add value back into that group. And it's really like a giant CEO mastermind. And the way that the people in that group rely on it for help. And now it blows my mind because when someone's looking for a realtor in one of our local groups, I'm the one that everybody tags. And for the last 5 years, I've just been trying to beat my 2020. And this year I have beat it, and it has been my best year in real estate ever. I have 4 closings this month, and I took 3 listings this week. And it has just been truly something amazing.
Stephanie, you're proving that it works. So when you sent me that, I just break down the math. You're like, here's how many people. So how many transactions are there? It's a 3 to 5 year plan, by the way, to get to that mm-hmm. number, which is exactly what you've proven. You do not have to make phone calls. Probably 5 years ago, I told you you did, but you don't have to make phone calls. You can text, you can DM, you can be in person, you can do whatever you want. And then find some way to add value to your people. We're going to do the exercise that I did with Steph via email 5 years ago. We're doing it in advance on Monday. So we'll do that so you know what your number is. And then your networking thing reminds me of a Wednesday webinar we did with Leah Jost. She's got the lunches with the business owners, the female business owners in Cincinnati. You're doing something similar. We need to probably do a Wednesday webinar with you on it, Steph, to talk about what you're doing. But folks, there is so much opportunity. When you put the community first and you add value to them and you figure out how you can help them, everything will come true. But listen, it's a long game, right, Stephanie? It didn't happen overnight. Yes. It's taken some time.
Yeah, but it's worth it. And it's the best kind of business because it's just people that already want to work with you.
You're coming to Advance, right?
Of course.
They're going to come find you. They're going to come find you. And they're going to want to know all the deets on everything that
That's
you do.
That's good. So. I'll be there.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate you so much. We're having some great shares today, which is awesome. Bonnie, you want to go next? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for letting me share. Kind of like our last two, I think for me, the value has come from really driving connection. So I have been doing a few networking events. Community has been my touch word this year. And so I started Table Builders with Alice Daly at the beginning of the year, and that has been so transformative to me. I host one every other month. It is not about real estate. It is not about networking. It is about creating deep connections with people in my community. And we are getting business from it, not because we're asking, but because we're bringing people together. And it's bringing new people into our sphere, into my world that I wouldn't have known otherwise, because people are inviting people. So that has been hugely transformative and just on a personal level, so fulfilling that it helps fill my cup for when I need to go back out and pour into other people. And then I've also been hosting what we call Real Talk twice a month for local agents of all brokerages. We get together at a coffee shop, so we're supporting a local coffee shop, and we invite affiliates. This week we had 2 lenders, we had a photographer, and we had an appliance repair guy. And so we all get together, we talk about the market. I'm kind of, you know, following your format. I ask a question that kind of grounds the group for the conversation, and I'm just pouring into them. And what I have found has been really surprising is that I'm actually getting business from that group. There are new agents that maybe don't feel as comfortable doing a listing that are asking me to partner. There are, you know, agents that, you know, have friends who are from another area that want to work with us. So our business this year has been so surprising. We've got almost 20% of our business this year has been through referrals. And a lot of them have come from Inspire. A lot of them come from Pivot. And that's one of our biggest networking groups, obviously. But the number of local and semi-local people that are, you know, that we're finding opportunities to work together and share has been so enlightening and inspiring for me. So
it's great share, you know, and we've heard now back-to-back people talk about they're using networking and stuff. That doesn't have to be your value. Like, you can figure out how do you add value to your people. And I would just stop with this. Before you send your newsletter, read through it and ask the question, is this valuable to someone who is interested in buying and selling and someone who isn't? Like, is there value for both? Another one is anticipate. Let's anticipate the challenges or concerns they might have. I attempted to do that yesterday. I know there's a lot of you that are very nervous about the travel situation. It's a very small percentage of flights that are going to be canceled. Like poor Carrie Dobo, literally 1 flight canceled between Atlanta and Tampa today, and it's hers. But like the other 12 are going. So I was thinking, what can I do to add value to the community coming to Advance by anticipating what's going on? And so on my flight home, I just wrote out an email with some ideas and resources. So that's value. Like, just think about, how can I anticipate? How can I solve? What can I do to educate or create opportunity? Any of those things work. I challenge you to think about that this week. All right, those of you making your way to Tampa, we will see you on Monday morning. We open the registration at 7 a.m. Doors to the event open at 8. The event starts promptly at 9. It's going to be awesome. Those of you not coming, we will see you back here on Wednesday. We have no call Monday or Tuesday. We'll be back and better than ever on Wednesday. Thank you for being here. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration. Have a good weekend. Bye, everybody.